because she says she can't know you have eternal life. So can you talk to her? And so, sure. So I talked to her and I showed her in the Bible. It says you can know it. And we went to a couple of verses before about the record that God gave of the Son. If you say that's not true, you're calling God a liar. So if you're saying you can't know you have eternal life and that record is not true, that means you're willing to stand up and say, God, you're a liar?
Yeah.
And she, like, no, I'm not going to say that.
All right, I'm here with Mr. Louis Hernandez, good friend of mine. I met Louis first at, like, here at Calvary, but he was the camp counselor that always made me say my verses word perfect. And in the beginning, I didn't like that, but I like it now because I see the importance of word perfect. But Louis is a teacher at the college here. He's a deacon at the church. He's an elder at the church, and he's become one of my good friends, a mentor of mine. And I wanted to get him on the podcast and have you share your testimony, how you came to faith in Christ and what you're doing as a result of that. So start from the beginning, but not like, you know, the very beginning.
Well, when I was a small elementary school student, I was raised in a Catholic church, and I really didn't think about heaven because they didn't talk about it. They just talked about being good and showing your good works and confessing your sins. So I wasn't really searching. I know some people say, well, you don't find the answer until you search for it. Well, I wasn't really looking for anything.
Yeah.
And one of the kids that was at the bus stop that I went to school with since it was first grade, he's like, hey, you want to come out to our youth group? We're having hamburgers for 50 cents. And I was like, what? All you can eat. And it's like, hey. So I went to Tampa Youth Ranch. They were singing songs. Everybody was sitting on the floor with rug squares, and then they were going over the gospel about, and I didn't know what that word meant back then, but they went over how I could know for sure I was going to heaven, and it wasn't by my works, and I always thought it was. And everybody was given a Bible. Everybody opened it up. I found out that there were more than one book in the Bible. I thought it was just one big book.
Yeah.
And like, oh, turn to this book. I was like, huh? I got the book. And they showed me several verses, like John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, 1 John 5:13. And it's only by belief. It's not by trusting in yourself. It's trusting in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection when he shed his blood on the cross to be the sacrifice for my sin. And when I understood that, I trusted Christ as my Savior. And ever since that day, I knew I was going to heaven. I know the ranch director, Rudy Oberholzer, asked if you want to raise your hand so we can pray for you. I was thinking, well, I don't know who you are, so I'm not raising my hand. And then I know, like a month later, because he did that every week, he said, you'd like to pray for anybody trust Christ today? He's like, well, I know you a little bit better, so I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand like a month later. But I was already saved.
Yeah.
That was back in 1972 when I was in sixth grade. David Satterwhite invited me out to ranch, and that was awesome. And then that Christmas, they had a camp at the Tampa Bay Baptist Assembly Grounds. And I know Dr. Hank Lindstrom was doing one specific message about dedicating your life. And he said, this is different from the when you trusted Christ, because all you did was trust Christ. And then we prayed when you raised your hand. But if you're going to dedicate your life, we want you to stand up. And so everybody can see that you're making this a public confession that you want to serve God for the rest of your life.
Yeah, different from salvation.
Yes. Because I've already been saved for several months. And then he was going over that, and I was thinking, well, I should, but I don't want to stand up. So he's doing that prayer, and people are standing up. Said, would you promise God you're going to use your life? And the kid, David Satterwhite, he stood up next to me because I was cheating. I was looking. And then the other kid on the right of me, Bobby Fletch, he stood up. I go, uh-oh. Both those guys are standing up. So I stood up. like, that's not the best reason, but
yeah.
But it's still, I still made that decision.
Yeah.
So, and it says, like, if you make God a promise, don't.
If you vow a vow.
Don't be foolish enough to disobey or not keep that promise.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools.
Yeah.
And so that is it's a major motivation. I know when kids do it and they remember it, they get motivated to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. As a, I think it's a good motivation.
Yeah.
I never seen it done in a church though. Dedication meeting. Maybe we should do one.
Maybe.
Say for the adults. Profitable. Because most adults have ever seen one of those.
Yeah.
Where they even had an opportunity to make God a promise.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I know you've seen it because you were at camp. And
I went to camp for years and years.
1972 was my first Christmas camp. Then we had spring camp. We had Thanksgiving camp. And then there was middle school, junior high camp. Then there was family camp. Then there was 2 weeks of high school camp. So, I mean, some years I went to five camps.
Yeah.
And then when you multiply that by a bunch. Yeah. A few years.
Yeah.
And then they also had something called council with the leadership of Youth Ranch. And that was met on Tuesday to do more in-depth Bible study and also do other extracurricular activities. Like the Youth Ranch director's wife said, "Yeah, I want you to be in the singing group." And I was like, "What group? Have you heard me sing?" She said, "No, it doesn't matter. You go in there anyway." So,
yeah.
She forced me, but she. I went into a singing group when we went to different places, retirement homes, funeral. The youth ranch meetings, camp, singing in front of. A middle school youth camp that had 800 kids in it. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's a lot of people in here. So I started getting better.
Well, you're starting to serve the Lord in different ways.
And then we'd go to, like, they would say, let's all go to the roller skating rink and share the gospel.
Yeah.
It's like, that means I got to talk. I don't like talking. Because I didn't talk at all, hardly.
Yeah.
I was always quiet, but I saw this was a command, not a if you like to.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I went with him, and I don't know, we had maybe 8 Tampa Youth Ranch members. The ranch director didn't go with us. We just went.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had, like, I think David had, I don't know, 12 or so Trust Christ. And Sandy, his, I don't know if they were girlfriend, boyfriend yet, but now his wife, she had like 9. And I had like 7 Trust Christ. So it was and I don't remember all, but we had a good amount for just high school kids.
Yeah.
Going out witnessing. And I still remember that because it was like the first time I ever did that group witnessing, sharing the gospel with kids our age that we never met, but we're just like going up to them on skates or sitting down and sharing the gospel.
How were you received by those kids?
Pretty good. We were the same age and we were doing the same thing. So I mean, I think kids in skating rinks meet new kids the same age all the time.
Yeah.
So it was pretty easy because it wasn't like it was different. It wasn't an adult coming to them. It was peers.
Yeah.
And when a peer your age comes up to you and starts talking, I think you get pretty favorable impressions.
Yeah.
Because you like making new friends. Hey.
Did you continue to do stuff like that?
Not like I do now every week.
Yeah.
It was more specialized type stuff. That was like we also had something at our high school called ROC, ROC.
Mm-hmm.
And we called it, I think David made it up. Who's the one that got me to trust Christ. And he was a really good Christian leader. He's been in Christian ministry for since he's been a teenager.
Satterwhite, right?
In South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's a music pastor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a doctorate in that. And he's the one that helped motivate me to do those kind of things.
Yeah.
And the ranch director and Hank. I mean, there was multiple people involved that were really good at sharing the gospel and how to do it and all the different techniques and stuff that helped me see the need that I like to be quiet, but you got to, who cares what you like? You're commanded to go out and do it.
Yeah, we have a command to give the gospel. So you were saying he started something called ROC, R-O-C?
Robinson Outreach Council. So mm-hmm. we'd meet before school.
And Robinson was the high school you went to, right?
That's the one we went to. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's motivate each other to share the gospel during school.
Yeah.
And then it's like, who can you think of that we could witness to? And then somebody say somebody's name and say, well, I have that guy in fourth period. And I go, I got that guy in last period. I said, well, you witnessed to him in fourth period, and I witnessed to him in last period. And he was like, what's going on? All these people talking about this.
Yeah.
So we were planning strategies and stuff.
Have you ever heard from somebody that you may have led to Christ at that time in your life, like years later?
I mean, I know people years later, but I think most of the people I know were the ones that David, because he used to put 12 people in his sister's car, take him to the ranch, like a little clown car, and just, who cares about seatbelts? Because they didn't have those laws. We'd just stuff them in there and then go to ranch. And I was just part of the stuffing. And he would, I think it was amazing how he would use his, because he was outgoing. He talked to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just mostly listen. And
yeah.
He was a good leader. He still is.
Mm-hmm.
I know his brothers do the same thing. They're the ones that got Terry Bollea, who's Hulk Hogan, to come out to Youth Ranch and Trust Christ before me.
Just so people heard what you just said there, that Hulk Hogan came out to Youth Ranch.
Yes, when his name was regular, Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea, yeah.
And then he heard the gospel from Hank Lindstrom. And he even remembers all three of those guys because he put all three of their names in his book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's chapter about Tampa Youth Ranch, which I thought was neat. It's like, look, and I know Hank said he met him in the airport, and he's like, hey, how you doing, Hank? I'm thankful that you share with me the gospel.
That's pretty crazy.
So, and I know other, I think Steve Garvey went to Youth Ranch, but you probably don't know him. He's just an all-star or Hall of Fame baseball player, but before your time.
Yeah, way before my time, I think.
So he trusted Christ there. And
so Tampa Youth Ranch has affected a lot of people.
Yes. I know we used to do a Halloween trail, which was to get people out to hear the gospel. And we got to one point where we had 5,000 people on Friday night and 5,000 people on Saturday night. And would bring them in 500 at a time. They had to hear the gospel. And Dr. Lindstrom said, you want to speak once? I said, sure. And I got to share the gospel with like 500 people. And I gave the gospel and, I don't know, 50 hands went up.
Wow.
So can I pray for you that you trust in Christ? And I thought that was kind of neat. It's like, I really couldn't count them. That's just an estimate.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of them. Because I think a lot of people never heard the gospel clearly. They didn't know that you can know you have eternal life when you trust in Jesus. They're always like, well, even the ones that say they know they have eternal life, they say, well, that's a good question. I don't know why I know it. Or they give the wrong answer and they're trusting themselves.
That reminds me of something that you said earlier when we started talking. You said you didn't know that it wasn't by works or something like that. You had thought you had to be good, you know, before you heard the truth. How did you come to that idea that salvation was by good works?
That's what they told me when I was growing up in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You have to do the sacraments, go to the 7 or 12 stations of the cross, and go into the confession booth and confess your sins to the priest. And they never told you you could know you have eternal life. They just told you, well, if you do this enough and you put enough effort into it, then you might make it. And if you don't, you'll maybe have to go to purgatory for who knows how long.
Right.
But if you committed a mortal sin, then you won't make it. But if venial sins, then you can be forgiven. And they didn't really explain, because I was only an elementary school kid, they didn't explain what those different kinds of sins are very clearly.
Yeah.
Even though I went to like communion and confirmation and stuff like that, and all the different traditions that they come up with. I mean, some of them are communion is true, but how they do it is not true.
Yeah. traditions of the church, transubstantiation, all that stuff.
And they would tell you that church tradition is equivalent to the Bible.
Yeah.
Which it isn't. The Bible is on par with nothing. It's the God's Bible. Word.
That's it.
Which is what I did believe, but I didn't know anything about it because it was just a big book. I mean, a big book sitting on the shelf that we didn't open up because you respect that book.
So when you trusted Christ, you were young. 11. But did you start to wrestle with what you had learned up until that point?
Well, I realized it was wrong.
Yeah.
And then I shared it with my mom, and she's like, you got to do good works. But I didn't know how to clearly explain it to my mom when I was 11, so I invited her out to Calvary, mm-hmm. the church here, and the guest speaker was speaking about the history of Catholics, how the priest was hundreds and hundreds of years ago was doing some really bad things, like killing people that were teaching right, and she got mad. She probably got mad during it, but at the end she. Because we used to have a
guest book,
just like they do at a wedding, whatever. We had a guest book, and they'd sign in, and then on her way out, she scratched her name out because she was mad. But then she came back to the youth ranch for a parent night, and heard a different guest speaker. The first one was the president of a Bible college. The second one was the vice president. She heard him, and he wasn't talking about directly Catholics. He was just talking about the gospel, and he did a really good job. And when she understood it, she trusted Christ. So I don't know, it was about a year and a half after I did.
Okay.
And then since I got my mom to trust Christ, and it was a lot easier to talk to my grandmother and my sister and other people because she could start helping.
Yeah.
And in fact, she probably did more talking to my grandmother than I did, though I think I probably got my sister to change her mind.
Yeah.
And then I had another sister I had to give the gospel to, and other relatives and cousins. And
so when your mom came to put her faith in Christ, did she just automatically say, I'm not a Catholic anymore, I'm not going to go with this stuff anymore? Was it like a process for her?
Well, we went to Catholic church and asked the priest a question. So like, because she wanted to make sure, what do they believe? So we ask, or I ask, well, what do you have to do to get to heaven? And he goes, well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. You have to go to CCD, which is their Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just giving us a list of things. She knew the Bible didn't say that. So she's listening and like, well, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I'm not sure, but I hope so. It's like, and she realized that if he doesn't know he has eternal life, how is he leading a church of thousands?
Yeah.
And it says in 1 John 5:13, you can know you have eternal life, so.
Why doesn't he know?
What's the, though she wasn't confrontational with him because she grew up to have respect for them, but she also grew up to have respect for the Bible, so they were conflicting.
Yeah.
And
was that the first time she saw this kind of conflict?
I'm not sure, but it could have been when she wanted to know for sure if the priest and the Bible were disagreeing, because she always believed the Bible was God's word. She just didn't read it.
Yeah.
When she said she did read some of it, she didn't understand it, so she didn't read very much of it.
Yeah. So as you put your trust in Christ, you've introduced your mom to the gospel, she's now put her trust in Christ, and you're just going through life now. You've made this commitment to serve the Lord. How has the simplicity and the clarity of the gospel really impacted what you do with your life?
Well, because we went to camps at a Bible college, Florida Bible College down in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the people there that were learning, and it was not only, I believe it had really awesome teachings, but it was also fun.
Yeah.
Though that wasn't the biggest thing, but I mean, it was on the beach, mm-hmm. and it was very energized camps. There was 1,000 kids in the high school camps.
Wow.
You have a tug of war with 250 kids on each side, four teams. So it was pretty awesome. It's like 45 to 50 bucks for a week. That included food. And you look at the door, it was like $100 a day 40 years before that, when it was a hotel. So it was a pretty good deal. So I went to several of those camps, and I saw many people there trust Christ and dedicate their life. And I heard the Jim Tengen story there.
From
Dr. Stanford. And I think the girl that was the one that gave Jim Tengen that smallpox or something when she was a baby, she was a middle school, junior high girl there.
Mm.
And I think that's the first time she realized she was the one that gave him that disease that he died from. So she started, in the middle of the story, she was crying a lot. I didn't find this out until later, because a lot of people were crying.
Yeah.
But one girl was crying really loud, and she left the room. And then I found out it was her. So that was, but I mean, she was a baby, so it wasn't her fault.
Right.
But those kind of stories motivated me to want to serve God more and keep going, because like I get a letter from Harvard says, why don't you apply, because we looked at your PSAT score and you should apply.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Bible college. I already made pretty much a decision. I want to go to Bible college, but I was just looking at this paperwork. So should I even do that?
Yeah.
Because if I go to a world that's making, things. Back then, making six figures, back in the a different millennium, making six figures, would I be serving the Lord? Or, because if I went back to my city of New York and was making a lot of money, would I really, even though I was saved, would I be really motivated to serve God, or would I start doing the love of money and getting into that? So I made a decision. I don't think I would be strong enough to do that and still serve the Lord. So I just went for the better degree, which is the Bible college degree, rather than learning how to move money around.
Yeah.
Which some people do, but I'd rather focus on doing things of the Bible, sharing the gospel, teaching people how to share the gospel, teaching Christian. I was in a Christian school for different Christian schools for 27 years, teaching kids all topics.
Yeah.
But that included the Bible because it was a Christian school. So seeing kids become different things like pastors, doctors, lawyers.
Yeah.
But hopefully they would continue serving God in whatever profession they're in. Because I know one of the students that became a doctor, he early on in being a doctor, he went on a mission trip with us to Honduras. And so did his dad and mother and sister. So there was three doctors, because his sister, she was a PhD doctor. And he was a medical doctor, and his father was a medical doctor. So it was, and they're the ones that invited me to go on medical mission trips.
Yeah, and you do those pretty much every year.
Except for the COVID year.
Yeah, where you guys go to a different place and...
Yeah, my first one was to Honduras.
Yeah.
Where they're really poor. And I went with seven doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And we split into two groups, three doctors in one group, four doctors than the other. And then I would share the gospel after they saw, or first they go to triage, which they figure out what's wrong with them and take their symptoms. And then they see the doctor.
Yeah.
Then they say, you want to hear the best news ever, or they put it a different way, but about heaven. So yeah. Then they come see me or one of the other people giving the gospel.
Because you guys go, the doctors go to provide the medical treatment, and then you guys go to
share the gospel.
Spiritual treatment, you know?
And
I mean, you guys
had all different kinds of responses.
A lot of people have trusted Christ through that ministry.
Many. Usually my goal each time is like, I want to get 100 people to trust Christ during this trip.
Hmm.
And more, I probably have 100 average. Sometimes it's a little bit less, sometimes it's more. Anywhere from 80 to 120 or whatever. But people are really thankful because, like, I'm really thankful. You came 8,000 miles to share the gospel and give it, well, to help us.
Yeah.
And
favorable attention.
There, people from kids to 80 are willing to listen. And I had very few people. I don't know if I ever had any negative reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it, but I don't want to accept that right now. But well over 90%, I think, do trust Christ if they didn't already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once in a while, you get somebody that's already understood it and has already trusted Christ.
More often than not, though, people are depending on themselves. And
they are depending themselves because they think they have to do good works, and it's all about what you've done from your birth to your death, and that's what your record is, what you're relying on. And we don't rely on our righteousness. It's God's righteousness, because our righteousness are filthy rags.
Yeah, and but people they're not taught that. They're taught that their good works have some type of value, that it will pay for sin.
That's what changed my grandmother's mind when my mom showed her in her Catholic Bible that your righteousnesses are filthy rags, and it uses an even more strong word in the Catholic Bible.
Mm.
So it's like, she looked at that like, what? All the good things I've done? Yeah.
Yeah.
And she saw that in her the Bible she owns. So she was like, then my mom continued with the gospel, and she trusted Christ. And same thing with the people on mission trips. When they see that you can know you have eternal life, because I know one lady was the pastor's mother.
Mm-hmm.
But she grew up believing your good works get you to heaven. And he said, my mom won't listen to me because she says she can't know you have eternal life. So can you talk to her? And so, sure. So I talked to her, and I showed her in the Bible. It says you can know it. And we went to a couple of verses before about the record that God gave of the Son. If you say that's not true, you're calling God a liar. So if you're saying you can't know you have eternal life and that record is not true, that means you're willing to stand up and say, God, you're a liar?
Yeah.
And she, like, no, I'm not going to say that. And she saw it in the Bible. So I say, well, would you trust in Jesus? Because we wanted the gospel before using the hand gesture. And I think also the wordless book, because I kind of combine them a lot of times.
Yeah.
And she understood what she needed to believe this. It's by Jesus alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. It's not by anybody else or any other thing. And she goes, well, I can see what it says in the Bible, and I'm not going to call God a liar. And so she trusted Christ. So it's always good to have the pastor's mother to trust Christ.
Yeah, probably a good thing.
And that was down in Dominica, which is a different island than the Dominican Republic, because
mm-hmm.
they're, 800 miles apart. But a lot of people think it's the same island.
Yeah. And so you're going to Brazil in a few weeks.
Yes. We're going down to the city of Manaus on the Amazon River, right by the confluence where the two major rivers meet to form the greater Amazon.
Yeah.
The Black and the Brown River. But they have Brazilian names, Portuguese names.
Yeah, and I think actually when this comes out, you will have already gone. I think when this interview comes out, you'll be a few weeks back from that trip.
Okay.
But I think an important thing to note about, well, just some of the things that stand out from your testimony is, like, number one, you haven't departed from the gospel. I think a lot of people that with your kind of knowledge and educational skills, they're going to be tempted to go into things that are, they're godly things, but they don't stick on the gospel. They just kind of like move on from the gospel. But you've kept that really the heartbeat of your life. You lead up weekly soul winning trips here at the church. You go to malls, you go to sporting events, all sorts of stuff, county fairs, and you just share the gospel with people. And nothing has really changed since when you were 11 as far as your desire to reach people for Christ. But what do you think is the main reason why you're still leading people to Christ? Well, that's, what do you think the main motivation for you sharing the gospel is, if you were to share that with people at home?
Besides knowing what Jesus did for me, because that's the biggest motivation, because when I think about the love of Christ constraineth me, that's when I think about what he did on the cross, like when we were sitting there on the Mount of Olives praying, that was a huge emotional experience, I guess. And you're thinking about what he did, like he was here, he's walked over there, knowing what he was about to go through. And that's the biggest motivation. But kind of like, I think it was Einstein that said, or it was one of those scientists who said, they asked him, why do you have so much genius level information? And he didn't say those exact words. But I don't need it to quote man's word for word, just Bible. But
yeah.
they said, why do you know so much? And he says, well, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, because there were extremely intelligent scientists that he learned from. So besides what God has done in the Bible, I've had a lot of awesome motivators, from youth ranch directors to pastors to Bible college teachers to friends that were excellent examples. That's why it's good to have fellowship, because people can be really good, helpful motivators, but you can't put your main thrust on them, because they're people and they can fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've seen some really super good motivators fall. I think throughout the Bible, people that were after God's own heart, David, he fell.
Yeah.
But he got back up and started serving God, but it still affected his ministry greatly. Mm-hmm. So we can't put our trust in them, but we can definitely learn from them, learn from the positives and avoid their negatives.
Yes, absolutely.
Because anybody can fall. Because it says, but if you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. Because there isn't any Christian in the flesh that has eliminated his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all be careful of that.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody that's immune to it. And that's why we need to keep encouraging each other. Iron sharpeneth iron.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from each other. I like the phrase, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing should be the good news of the gospel, because that's the thing that lasts forever. It's one good work that you can do here that you can't do in heaven. You can pray in heaven. You can talk to God in heaven and hear his word.
Mm-hmm.
You can study it all you want, memorize it and quote it, and you can fellowship with many Christians, famous Christians and stuff, but you can't share the gospel with unsaved people in heaven, because there aren't any.
No.
And there are several different stories that help me see the importance and the value of a soul worth more than the world. And I like the different things in the back of several different books. Are you dedicated? And one of them was like, if somebody gave you $1,000 for every person you led to the Lord, would that change the amount you give the gospel? No, it wouldn't. Show me that $1,000 bill that they haven't made in 80 years. But so it's those kind of things. And
perspective.
I remember, because Dr. Lindstrom, he used to witness all the time. He'd go to football teams, baseball teams and downtown Bible studies. And he just filled up his time. He didn't even go to pastors group meetings and share the gospel with the pastors, because
not all pastors know the gospel.
Some of them, they never even heard it.
Yeah.
They just know about how to talk about stories in church.
Yep.
And how to apply last night's TV show to a life lesson or something.
Right.
And that's what they're help this, you know, that lesson you learned on TV, how can it help your community? And like, well, what's that got to do with
the gospel?
A Christian thing.
Exactly.
I mean, sometimes they just talk about community standards of improving community relations. Well, then you just need to be a community service worker for the government. but we have a more higher calling.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get involved in everyday type things. And you're like it says, among thorny ground or rocky ground, the thorns of life. A lot of Christians are like, well, my job, I don't have time for this because my job or my health or my whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that are reasonable, but if they take up all your time, then it might be reasonable to people, but it's not spiritual. So we have to always keep the main thing, then those are things that should be helping you, not replacing.
Right.
Nothing should replace Jesus in our life, because then it becomes a God. And I know when people say I got to keep Ten Commandments, they always start with the middle ones. They don't want to start with the first one, because you're putting other gods before God.
Yep.
And
making idols.
So like, who doesn't do that? Because that's a pretty much one that just about everybody breaks. Mm-hmm. Even people that are serving God pretty well, you still could do better in certain areas.
Yeah.
We still need to grow until we get to heaven and have nothing but the new nature.
Right.
We still need to grow. That's why Paul wrote Romans 7.
And we have to encourage each other here, which that's what I find the most comforting in our fellowship is, even though we're doing different things, I know that we're both doing the same thing and that we're sharing the gospel. We're excited about that. We know it well enough to be able to spot an error, and we know how to talk to people that believe those errors and try to win them over to the truth of the scripture, well, which is just letting the scripture speak for itself. But I like that, and that's what I like about most of the people that we've interviewed so far. It's like,
yeah,
they're
like
doing different things in different places, but it's the same thing. It's getting the gospel out, keeping the main thing the main thing.
I like always referring in your mind of verses that you've memorized, that you, thy word have I hidden my heart, that's your mind, that I might not sin against thee. Mm-hmm. And so when we're witnessing, we don't want to be there just to win the argument. We want to be there to win the soul. So
yes,
that's why we have to give the truth in love and also with meekness and fear.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just contradict somebody. I want to tell them what the truth is. Just like when, if you're showing somebody the difference between a counterfeit bill and a true bill, you focus on the true bill.
Yes.
As opposed to just like banging on, like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at what's right.
Point them to the truth. That's right.
And let them see the truth, because the gospel, which is the good news, that is the power of God into salvation.
Right.
Not our technical skills to beat them down to make them look foolish.
Yep.
I mean, you might be able to do that,
but what have you really done if they haven't trusted Christ?
Right. And like when junior high kids kind of like take that to a art skill to beat each other down and verbally. And it is fun, because you can see them just doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you guys being so mean? Well, it's fun.
But I think a lot of Christians are like that today, because there's a lot of conservative pressure that's being brought into Christianity. And it's okay to be conservative, nothing wrong with that. But I think a lot of Christians have taken that up as the movement, you know, and that's a good thing. And there certainly are a lot of things in our culture that are under attack by progressive leftist ideology. But I see a lot of Christians taking up a political flag and putting down the gospel. You know, it's like, we got to win our culture first. Well, how do you change the culture? You lead people to Christ, and then they start to learn and grow, mm-hmm. and then they have to be doers of the word. But I think we're trying to make them see our point of view politically on things, and I say we, but I just see this in social media.
I think we always have to teach the gospel, God, and the rest of God's word,
yes.
His way.
Yeah.
And once they understand it, because most people, even when they're saved, don't understand a lot of it because they're not studying it. They're not where a study to show thyself approved unto God, approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. So they just are like novices. They don't study it. A lot of people, I think the majority of people who get saved really don't learn by themselves. They just hear it. I'm talking to one guy my age that was like, well, I feel this is true. I feel, it's like,
yeah.
You feel like, when I was in Bible college, we used to challenge each other, chapter and verse. Where did you get that? Somebody told me when I was giving the gospel out in a ranch meeting, I said, well, you know, pray this prayer, and when you pray that prayer, you'll be saved. Because I said the prayer was clear, but when the way I said it, if you pray the prayer, that's what saves you. I didn't say it exactly that way, but it could have been interpreted that way because I didn't make it clear.
Right.
That the prayer was just something that helped you focus what you're believing. So I listened to him because he was going to, we were both Bible college students. And he told you, you know, you could say that differently. And I thought about it, and he's like, he was right. I could, so I didn't say it that way. Now I just say, if you've trusted Christ, you believe that now, right? You know you're going to heaven. You've received that free gift. If I pray with them, which I don't always, but if I do, then I say, would you want to thank God in a prayer for thanksgiving of the gift you've already gotten?
Yes. Yeah.
So would you like to thank God with me
in a prayer? I was just talking about that on another recording that I was doing. Like, leading a person in prayer to be saved can be misleading. So just lead them to Christ outside of the prayer.
And then after they trust Christ,
yeah,
it's like, would you like to thank God with me in a prayer?
And yes,
I would say well over 95% of the people who trust Christ are willing to pray and thank God afterward. Because I said, if you get an awesome gift, wouldn't you like to thank the person that gave it to you? So I mean, you don't have to.
You should.
You could walk away and just, but you got the gift. You don't have to. And some people say, well, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. So. They still have eternal life. They just didn't thank God in a prayer. But I think it's also a good example that we should pray and also tell them you should read your Bible, you should go to church, you should fellowship, and share the gospel.
Yeah.
We do that because we're thankful for an awesome free gift.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of that if we don't do it, we didn't really get the gift in the first place, or one of the other logical fallacies that people use and twist the gospel with many of the thought processes the world uses to make up lies. And Satan is really good at taking a bunch of truth and twisting, tweaking it. And if you don't know the Bible well, those satanic tweaks to it are easy to miss.
Yeah, people will front load the gospel, and that's where they say you have to like keep good works to be saved and all that. Maybe like what the Catholic Church does. Like, it's very evident from the beginning. You have to do works. But then there's other people that sneak it in at the end, or
backloading.
Backload it, and they make it seem like it's something that your works prove you really believed. So now you have a person who's already saved, but now they start looking to themselves to justify their salvation. Doesn't change the fact that they're saved, but it definitely impacts their ability to share the gospel with other people. So now that person can't hear it clearly, and it, even if they hear it at all, you know, and that's, if we keep the main thing and use biblical language, then you don't fall into that error.
I always want to make sure they understand the gospel before I get into other questions they have, because if they have other questions on why do you think that's true, why... I always make sure I want you to understand the gospel, because a lot of people will trust Christ once they understand the gospel. I've had people who said they didn't believe in God change their mind once they heard the gospel. that Christ died for them and rose again, and if they would believe, they would have eternal life. And they never heard that, so they changed their mind.
Yeah.
If after hearing the gospel and they understand it clearly, said, "Well, I still don't really believe in God because I've never heard proof," then I would go into one of my favorite wheelhouses. Christian evidences and apologetics. So like I was talking to one guy after that, and it's like, well, I can give you a bunch of different proofs. So I'll give you the category and you can pick it. So do you want to do prophecies, things in God's word that were said before they ever happened, historical accuracy of the Bible, show that it's true, or do you want to get into scientific proofs in the Bible? So pick one. I'll give you dozens of them, each one. But that's because I like those areas.
Yeah.
I like math and science. Math is fun.
and probability, like we were talking about earlier, perspective.
So I liked learning about all those different things, that why I can know for sure the Bible's accurate, because God gave us tons of proof. He says, "Come now, let us reason together."
Yeah.
And there's many reasons in there. And he didn't just say, "Believe it," without thinking about it. He says, there is reason, there is proof.
Mm-hmm.
There's many infallible proofs. And the resurrection is the biggest one.
Absolutely.
And we were there in Jerusalem looking at the hill he was crucified on, and the grave, and the people who went out from there. I got to share the gospel in that city and had 17-year-old trust Christ, and John got two other people drinking coffee trust Christ. And
yeah, that leads me to another thing. You are doing all the work for Yankee Arnold Ministries, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you had posted that video. I think you had posted a video on a channel that you have of that kid. Did you talk to him and Avery or something?
He's a kid bigger than like six something, 200-something pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. But you had interviewed him when we were in Israel this last time.
Yes, right? He trusted Christ, and then John says, "You want to come over and talk with us?" And I said, "Well, we can interview him."
Yeah,
and then do I can make up a YouTube video, because that's what I do. And so, and it took me a long time to finally get a channel made and upload his video.
Yeah, but you're even using current technology to get people out there with the gospel message and get them under the sounds of only saved by faith in Christ.
I think, 70 people have seen it so far.
Yeah.
My first YouTube video.
And all the work you're doing with Yankee Arnold Ministries, I mean.
Yeah, his video, I think the last one I put up had 500 in the first half day.
Huge influence.
And he's, 16,800 subscribers or.
Yeah, he's right around
something
there.
Something like there.
So how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you after seeing your interview? Email address probably good?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll have Trent put it in the description. And I mean, we have no idea how many people this will reach, but I think it's important to see somebody like you, who people probably have already met and seen before, but know how you got saved and what you came out of and what your motivations are now. I think it's important.
And you can come with us, because we have people that are really good at sharing the gospel, and you can see how we do it, and how you can go up to somebody that's never heard the gospel. I try to focus on high school kids because they're easier to talk to, and the Bible. I mean, people have taken polls. 90% of the people who trust Christ do it before they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so, might as well get them before they're 18, because that's when people make those kind of decisions. I did it when I was 11, but there's a lot of people say, "Oh, I trusted Christ when I was 17, 16, whatever."
Mm-hmm.
And we've literally had thousands trust Christ going out to different places. I'm pretty confident it's over 10,000, probably between 10 and 20,000 in the last 12 years of doing this, or more. And several people that have gone out with me have led over 1,000 people to the Lord. And one person has led over 100 in their first year. And it's like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Just to see people that have never shared the gospel with a teenager they never met, or going up to a group of teenagers, like eight or whatever, and just sharing the gospel with them, and they might not listen, or they all of them might trust Christ. I've had both. I think you came up to a group of 24 at the mall one time.
That's the largest that I've been able to talk to without getting pulled aside by the police. Well, not the police, whatever, mall security. But yeah, 24 kids, me and Justin Fields. It was crazy. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities to win.
I think my biggest group was 20. Yeah. At a high school football game.
So if you're local here in Tampa, then they can email you and maybe they can come along.
Yes,
that'd be good.
We've had new people come along. I don't know. We've probably had 40 different people come with us at one point or time over the, 12 years, something like that.
I don't remember when we started, maybe 2011.
I don't know if you came the very first year, because it might have been before. I think it might have been 2010. I think it might have been when you were in high school. So,
well, I graduated in 2009. I don't know when it was, but it's been a long time.
When Pete first started, was that 2009, 10?
Right around there, 2010, I think, a year after Dr. Arnold was here. But it's been every Friday night for a long time.
So we can keep going till the rapture.
Yes, which is very soon.
So WTR, witness to the rapture.
Yes. Well, it's been good, Louis. I appreciate your time. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing to those who are watching?
You mean after opening?
Oh, boy.
Well, if you don't understand the gospel, listen to other videos here that share how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice for your sin. And don't trust in anything else but Jesus, because trusting in me won't get you anywhere, but trusting in Jesus will. So
yes,
trust in Jesus, and don't be a Secret Service Christian. We got too many of those. Retire from that and share the gospel, because that gospel means good news. And when I go up to people, I like this opening. Can I share with you the best news I ever heard? And high school kids are like, well, what? Like, that's a challenge. Well, what is it?
Yeah.
I literally think this is the best news ever. And I try to make it funny, like, it must be pretty good news because I'm old. So, and then you can have different openings. People have different ones. I know one person said, can I do a survey or whatever?
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to start a conversation.
But you just want to make it sure it sounds like it's a positive conversation. So, because it's better when you start positive. And you still share with them the problem, which is sin. But I always like this. You could do a whole video on the techniques of witnessing and how to do it effectively. Because we have a class in Bible college where I think you could take a 10-hour part one for free.
Yep.
Or you could do the full.
We'll put that
one
in the description. That's good. The Bible Line Institute free class.
And also, you could take the full blown
Florida Bible College. That's right.
Personal evangelism class.
Yes, I recommend that to everybody.
So you can learn it, but also do it, because we're supposed to be fishers of men, not just in theory. Yeah. But in actuality, because both people in this room have been with me witnessing at different places.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to, wherever we go, share the gospel. And it's because it's the only thing we can't do in heaven, and it is a command. We have other commands, but this is definitely most important for the person who's never heard it.
Absolutely. Well, check the description. You can see Mr. Hernandez's email there and all forms of communication for that free class we were talking about too. And we'll be back sometime soon with another interview. You've been watching Bible Line. Keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.